Coming to you live from the Morningstar Mission Sponsored Studios, this is Carl and Crew Mornings on 90.1 FM Moody Radio.
All right, guys. We are going to be jumping into some freedom today, and I can't wait to do it. We have a golden opportunity to break down how easy it is for freedom to be lost. And boy, is it easy. When I'm talking about freedom, you know, I am talking about all forms of freedom. It's easy to lose it, is it not?
Yes. You think in spiritual, you think in
everything.
Physical freedom?
Yeah, physical freedoms, societal freedoms. You know, this is really funny, but I was actually doing a deep dive on, I was curious about how did Hitler, I don't know why I've been drawn back to him, probably because of Dietrich Bonhoeffer and, you know, this great discovery that I had when I was talking with Michael Rydelnik. I did not know that German pastors were paid by the government. I did not know that. So the state-run German Lutheran church, all of those pastors got their paycheck from the government. Because the question I had for Michael Rydelnik with regard to the Holocaust and this horrible persecution and annihilation of Jews was, how in the world did this happen in a, quote, Christian nation? Because we got to remember, Germany was, there were gospel preaching people all over the place. Dietrich Bonhoeffer wasn't like the lone voice. There were a lot of guys and gals who were all in on Jesus. And so you got to go, well, what in the world was going on? Well, I did not know this, and I should have suspected it. Sometimes I kick myself. So I asked Michael Rydelnik, I said, how in the world did this happen? Where were the people that were standing up to Hitler, the Christians? He said, fascinatingly enough, there was an uprising of pastors who stood up in the face of this thing. You know what they got threatened with by the Third Reich?
Their salary.
Their salary.
Yeah.
You know what happened? The fear of losing salary shut up about 80, 90, 95% of them. It's a big deal, isn't it?
Yeah, because you think, how could people have stood by
and watched this? So some didn't. I mean, the story with Bonhoeffer is 3 weeks before Hitler took cyanide poisoning with Eva Braun, his many years lover. By the way, he married her in the bunker when he was about to die. I think hours before he died, he married Eva Braun. I don't know what his theology must have been, that things would go happily ever after when he and she passed away from or killed themselves with cyanide. So he married Eva Braun down in a bunker. Wrote two documents. One was a last will and testament that was attempting to, the two-page last will and testament that was his attempt to show that he was just a poor man who was just trying to do what was best for the country. And what, isn't it funny how he was trying to cover his back even in death?
To rewrite the narrative.
Yeah, rewrite the whole narrative. To get his legacy fixed somehow. Mm-hmm. It didn't work, but in a two-page kind of last will, he bequeathed his little bit of pittance of wealth that he claimed to have to his family tree, and they actually recovered some of those few pennies. But the truth is, he had sacked the entire German treasury, and he had ripped off what many believe to be valued at billions of dollars of just art and artifacts, billions of dollars. And so he was a very wealthy guy, had lots of homes, lots of retreats. And so he wrote that thing. And then he wrote an 11-page handwritten screed on how it was the Jewish people's fault that things have gotten where they've gotten. 11 pages. In the throes of death. An 11-page screed on why it's the Jews' fault. So you wonder, well, how in the world are freedoms lost? Well, there's a lot of ways, but I did a deep dive because I asked a question of Google, when did free speech end in Germany? And interestingly enough, the Reichstag fire decree, there was a Reichstag fire that broke out that the government at that time, that there was freedom of speech up to this point in time. Up until 1933, there was freedom of speech in Germany. But because of that huge event, the governing authorities, and they held enough power in the majority, where they decided we're shutting it down. And there were, I think, four or five parts to this Reichstag fire decree that shut down any privacy, freedom of speech, the ability to move about, voice your opinion. And the loss of speech, the loss of that freedom, led to this crushing of the Jewish people. Isn't that fascinating stuff?
Wow.
I'm so glad that the Apostle Paul spoke. And interestingly enough, some of you might not know this, Boom Crew, the first book that was written in the New Testament was the book of Galatians. First book. So even all the Acts of the Apostles and all that, and even the gospel accounts are all written after this by the apostles that, you know, and what that's what makes the gospel account so incredibly authentic is that you've got four different accounts. I mean, and yet they're melded together after many years had passed of confirmed recollection that brings incredible synthesis to the gospel accounts of Jesus. Miracles and ministry and the words he spoke. But the Apostle Paul found the need, and in our New Testament, the first book ever written was the book of Galatians, and it was written at around, give or take, 48-49 AD, somewhere in there. And right after the Jerusalem Council, where the early church was wrestling with, what are the things that we need to kind of do, I'm using air quotes there, to kind of validate those that are in the faith. And the big issue was the Judaizers came in and they wanted people, even Gentiles, to be bound by the Judaic law and by circumcision. So they wanted these outward signs. Well, that flew in the face of what Paul had shared with Galatia on his first missionary journey. So he heard about these freedoms that were at risk in Jesus Christ. And he's like, no, why have you so quickly abandoned the gospel and opted for another gospel? And then he says in the first chapter of Galatians, as if there could be another gospel.
Right. Like there's not, but.
But it's a great form of writing, isn't it? And the freedom that was about to be lost was really what I call the big lie. And the big lie was, I must perform well enough to gain the approval of God and others. And the Apostle Paul said, no, you don't need to live for the approval of God and the approval of others. This is not an external faith. This is an internal thing that flows out of us and changes the way that we live. Holding on to freedoms, no matter what they are, can be one of the greatest challenges, right, Allie?
It is, but it's something that we instinctively, particularly in this country, we have such a good system, not a perfect system.
Yeah.
But we have certain rights and freedoms that are written into the Constitution that we, you know, people confront somebody on something. How often do people go, but this is a free country? People appeal to their freedoms
in a lot of
different, sometimes inappropriate ways. But the principle at stake is, hey, I have freedom here. Don't infringe on my freedom.
Yeah, and that's a great point. And one of the greatest infringements on spiritual freedom is, you ready for this, Boom Crew? External performance rather than internal transformation. And don't we all find that to be one of our biggest battles?
This is a free gospel here. This is a free gospel.
We got a free gospel. And the free gospel can absolutely liberate us and take us into incredible freedoms. But the minute we attach more value to the external of the Christian life rather than the internal of the Christian life, those freedoms are at risk. And that's where we can get in big trouble. Coming up, we're going to break it down for you, jumping into the book of Galatians. We can shout freedom. The Apostle Paul did, and we can as well. Cody Carnes here, nothing else. We're going to break it down here today, guys. We're going to have 3 days talking about anchors that can keep us from drifting into performance powerless Christianity.
Discipleship to start your day. You're listening to Carl and Crew Mornings.
One of the most dangerous steps that we can take in Christianity is to step toward or be pulled away from the freedom that is really found in Jesus Christ, which is a radical internal change that then flows through us and out of us into the world around us. The natural bent of mankind is to default to working from the outside in, and that never works. That we are bound by performance. This is why performance, that's God's work. Finding the branches. Proximity to Jesus beats performance for Jesus every day of the week. But it's easy to get sucked in, and to be fair with even the Judaizers that were trying to twist and pollute the gospel, to be fair, it is almost easier to try to make the outside look okay, to try to jump through hoops, to try to find approval from God and man in the things that we do. But the thing that we know to be true is that behavior modification never does work for us, does it, Allie?
Not at all. It's easier to try to fix up, dress up the outside a little bit, but we know that there's no life in that because we've tried that.
Yeah, we've tried that. It just doesn't work. So coming up here in a couple of minutes, we're going to break it down. There are three anchors in this early part of Galatians that will keep you from drifting into a powerless life. A performance life, a perspective that if I look right and act right and do right and that I'll be okay. But we are okay because of what Jesus Christ has done in us. So coming up in a moment, we're going to be in Galatians 1. A few little introductory verses in this incredible first book written in the New Testament, about 49 AD. We'll break it down. Hang on.
Helping you take the next step in your walk with Jesus. This is Carl and Crew Mornings.
The big lie that Satan tries to plant in our minds constantly is that you must perform well enough to gain the approval of God and others. But that's not the truth. Jesus Christ has done what we cannot do. He's the one that makes us complete and whole. Your spouse can't complete you. Only Jesus can. But when he does, holding on to that freedom is paramount. Even in these introductory words of Paul to the church of Galatia that was getting baited with this big lie to find our validation by an approval of God and others by how we look on the outside, boy, he hit them hard with the gospel in a really powerful way. But even in his introductory words, he gives us little ideas about what are the anchors that are going to keep us drifting into this performance Christianity? And I know you battled that this morning because I battle this constantly, Boom Crew. It's one of the ongoing battles that we're going to face in this life. But listen to these few verses here from Paul.
This is Galatians 1, 3 through 5. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen.
What do you get out of that, Allie?
Well, I love first that he starts with this greeting, grace and peace to you from God our Father. And then he reminds them of the purpose of that, that he gave himself for our sins and to deliver us.
Yes.
That there was deliverance was the purpose. Well, then you think, well, what am I delivered from? And the reminder that you're living in an evil age.
Yes.
You needed to be delivered out of that evil age.
Boom.
And it was the will of God to deliver you.
It was the will of God to deliver us. See, the gospel of Jesus delivers you from a twisted and broken world for his glory. And a lot of times we don't get both ends of this, or we just get one of it. But the gospel takes us to someone, but from something. It's both and, right?
Right. And I think we miss a lot of times that we are living in an evil age. We get like reminders of that when we see things happening in the world or things hit us personally. But when things are kind of calm and, you know, the sun is shining on a Wednesday afternoon and, you know, your life feels like it's okay, you don't always feel like it. Like evil age? I mean, you know, I'm living in the suburbs of Chicago in a decent sized house and the bills are paid.
Yeah.
We still need deliverance out of an evil age.
I think these introductory comments by Paul are just epic because he's laying down that very thing that Allie just said. Boom, crew. We've been delivered into the hands of God, but we've been delivered from the grip of the world that we're in. I mean, how does he exactly describe what we've been delivered from?
From the present evil age.
Heavy duty words.
You needed to be delivered out of your sins, personal, and out of the evil age, corporate.
Yeah, powerful stuff. Okay, coming up here in a minute and a half, I'm going to give you a story that is the most radical life-saving kind of mission that I've ever personally seen, where a life was physically saved from certain death. And I'll give that to you coming up.
Whether it's number one or 100, take that step with Jesus today. You're listening to Carl and Crew Mornings.
If you want to drift away from performance Christianity or the big lie that we need to perform well enough to gain the approval of God and others, and when I say that, what do you feel right now? No, I'm asking you, what do you feel? It is a constant bait of Satan that he's putting out there saying, you've got to look good, you've got to act right, you've got to be a good Christian. We live by shoulds and ought tos. But this miracle of salvation not only saves us from something, but into someone. And I think the best descriptor of this for me is we were in Bristol Bay, anchored up, not commercial fishing, waiting for the fishing game to open up a season for fishing. So they wanted to get escapement. Salmon need to get up the rivers so that they can spawn, have baby salmon, so that guess what? We've got more fish to catch in years to come. So it's great. They do a great job in Alaska of managing fisheries where they have sonar in the rivers to count how many salmon are getting up the stream.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
I had no idea.
And it's called escapement so they can tell, oh, good, we've had a million salmon come up the stream. We can open it up. And that's a free side point. It has nothing to do with the story I'm about to give you. But we're sitting on anchor. It is a warm day for Alaska. Probably 60, 65 degrees, which is really hot out there near just on the coast of the Bristol Bay. We're on anchor and the tide is going out. Now, the tides in Alaska are the second largest in the world. So when tides go out, you might as well be in a river because it's moving. These tides move in and out. And the only time the tides are absolutely still is called high water slack or low water slack. So when the high waters come in and it's about to turn, you kind of get that moment, kind of like an eclipse. You get this moment where it's like still and then it goes back out or it comes back in. So tide's going out. Everybody's just hanging loose, cooking, eating, laughing, joking, speaker systems on decks. Everybody's playing music. All of a sudden we hear the boat that's anchored up in front of us. The captain, Mike Motorella, just screaming, "Hey, help!" We're like, what in the world? And we jump up, and one of his deckhands, Tim, had fallen into the drink just walking down the side of the boat.
Fallen into the drink?
Into the ocean.
Okay, got it.
Fallen into the ocean, just walking down the gunwales of the boat. Just slipped, fell. No life preserver on. You didn't do that. And this water is so cold and so silty. The expected, I think, life expectancy in water like that is probably 2 minutes max, and you're going down. So he's yelling, and we look up, and here's Tim. He's past the stern of the boat in front of us that he fell off of, and he's drifting right past our boat. And when he gets past our boat off the stern, he is going out to Bristol Bay, and we will never see him again. He is a dead man. Marvin, our captain, grabs a rope off the deck. Marvin was quick thinking. He grabbed the rope. He wasn't panicked, but he took a coiled up rope and he threw it out. Now Tim's probably just 8 to 10 feet off of our port side of our boat, drifting away, and he throws it to him. And Tim reaches out and grabs at it, but missed it. We had one more shot. Tim was a dead man. Coils it up again. He says, Tim, grab this. And Tim has, I'll never forget, those desperate eyes, because he knew what was happening. Marvin coils up that rope again, throws it out, full extent of the rope. Tim reaches out, and no joking, with probably 3-4 inches sticking out the knob of his knuckles, he got a hold of that rope. He reached up with his other hand and got two hands on it. We gently, all of us now on the deck, probably 3 of us there, start to pull him back in against the tide. So imagine pulling someone in against a river, so that water's just...
lots of resistance.
Resistance galore coming at him, just pouring over his head. We're pulling him in gently, gently, and he says, careful now. And I grab a grappling hook, which is a hook that's made to grab a line of a buoy in the ocean when we're coming by it, kind of like you'll see on Deadliest Catch, where they throw out a hook into the ocean. We did the same thing to grab our buoys. And I throw out a hook, and I throw it around his body. And we pull it up underneath his arms, and I tie a half hitch around that thing, a knot that's going to keep him pretty much intact. And we gently, carefully, because if slips and falls, he's gone. We pull him up on the deck. Now, here's what I want you to know, Boom Crew. That is a metaphor for the greatness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Tim was saved from certain peril and into the arms of incredible safety. In the 90 seconds that he was in the water, his body was drained. It took him 24 hours to recover. Body was drained, but he was safe and secure. And he stood there on the deck, shivering, but ecstatic. We hugged. We jumped around. Why? Because a certainly lost guy had been saved. Paul wanted to remind the Galatian church that we've been saved from an evil generation for which we're going to die, and into the arms of a loving God. And one of the best ways to anchor yourself from drifting into this performance Christianity is to remember time and again the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, when our memory gets foggy about what we've been saved from and who we've been saved into, we can get into performance Christianity that quick. Coming up, we're going to ask you a question. It's not Freedom Friday, but I want you to wrestle deeply with, for the purpose of anchoring yourself in the gospel, boy, how quickly I forget what God has saved me from. And I don't want you to feign spiritual performance. I want you to go deep and go, the path that I was on, where would have that led me? Some of you are in the thick soup already. You know what you were delivered from, but I'm asking you, the gospel of Jesus Christ saved you from what exactly? What? And into what? Because when we keep that in the forefront of our mind, we can be saved from drifting into this crazy religious spirit that it's like we go to church and we got to look right. No, my friend, what has God saved you from? changes everything. It's the ultimate equalizer. We're all on equal footing in this studio in here. We're all on equal footing, Boom Crew, you that are listening. We've all been saved from a
certain death.
A certain death. Some people say, I don't know if I have a big story. Oh, yeah, you do. When God saved you, what were you going to drift into? Most certainly. And we'll talk about it coming up.
Going from believers of Jesus to followers of Jesus. You're listening to Carl and Crew Mornings.
We have got an event and a half that is coming up here on the 23rd. And Allie's going to give you details on this, but I'm telling you, it is filling up fast. So we put this out yesterday because I want to make sure our Boom Crew's there. We've only got 28 spots left, and that's filling 80. What are the details on this thing, Allie?
This is going to be an estate planning, a free estate planning seminar with our team here at Moody. Also, they're bringing in some outside experts to help answer your questions. So obviously, there's going to be talk about legacy planning as it relates to Moody Bible Institute, but also just an opportunity for you to get some good general information questions answered for the kind of the bigger picture of what you're doing planning-wise. If you want to be a part of this, though, spots are filling up quickly. So just text the word legacy to 312-274-9624. Just text legacy.
Yeah. And get 28 slots left, guys. So call your spouse. If you're married, make sure you can get there and then get signed up. And the reason I'm kind of jealous for this, I love it when the Boom Crewers can get to these events.
And you're going to be out there.
I'm going to be out there. I'm going to be out there shaking hands, just meeting you. And
2 weeks from today at Christ Church of Oak Brook.
Yeah. Yeah, no more needs to be said. Text LEGACY to 312-274-9624. And just a warning here, having the link is one thing. Signing up with the link is everything. So use it, and we're going to go. Okay, this is a huge moment we're having here this morning, Allie.
Yeah, so we want to hear from you. You just heard this epic story, an Alaska story of a man saved from certain death who'd fallen overboard. And one more throw of the rope. This was the last shot. He had missed the first grab, and he was going to drift out into part of the water where you were not going to be able to get him. But that last throw of the rope, you were able to grab him. And it's such a vivid picture. You think, man, that's dramatic. But our gospel, the gospel that saved us, is that dramatic. So what were you saved from? What path were you headed on that would have led to certain death, spiritually, maybe even physically? 312-274-9624. 312-274-9624.
The beauty of the gospel is that it saves us into a relationship with Jesus Christ, but it saves us from, how does Paul describe it? From what?
The present evil age.
And I think it's important. It's an important exercise to protect us from drifting into this weird performance Christianity, which is what Paul was battling. The whole book of Galatians is dealing with, we've got to hold up the fight against this performance Christianity. And the reason that the gospel is so powerful and to hold on to it is it puts an anchor on the beachhead so that we don't get sucked into this performance thing. And when we're talking about anchoring ourselves in the gospel, we're talking about remembering that you've been saved from something. Now, here's what's beautiful about this. You might have been saved when you were 10 years old. Let's just say that. But if you put on your thinking cap, you can easily forecast where you would have gone based on your family of origin, kind of the track that you were on, where you would have gone without Jesus. Some of you know that full well, because you were saved right out of the mess that you were in. You were going down. There was no way you were coming back from this one, apart from the grace of God. But we really want to hear from you this morning, and I want you to dig deep. And I know it's not Freedom Friday, but we don't need Freedom Fridays to share stories around here. We want your story right now.
What were you saved from? 312-274-9624.
Need a wake-up call? We can help with that. You're listening to Carl and Crew Mornings.
You know, the bait of Satan and the world system. We got three enemies out there, by the way. The world, the devil, and ourself. But all three of those systems are trying to bait us into thinking that we're validated by the approval of others, the approval of God. And this is why Paul started the letter to Galatia with this rousing, man, this gospel has saved us from an evil generation by God's grace and his mercy. What a beautiful way to start a letter. Obviously, bringing people back to the reality of salvation, it's so easy to get into the Christian grind that you lose contact with the miracle of salvation. The good news, Allie.
It's so, so true. And this is in our culture where we sign up and we serve in the ministry and we go on certain days of the week. And those are all wonderful things. But if we're not careful, we can drift into doing them without really meaning or purpose attached.
Yes. Anonymous first-time caller, what did the gospel of Jesus Christ save you from? Where were you headed?
It saved me from generational sin and a lack of the fear of the Lord. I was raised in a Christian home, a Christian family. Not my mom particularly, but my family was Christian. And I was not raised with a fear of the Lord, so I had no problem going down the same path as she did. And I didn't care. I didn't care about the consequences. And then God basically delivered me about 2 years ago. He showed me that he was in control. And even though I've been saved since I was about 7 years old, I fully surrendered about 2 years ago.
Yeah, beautiful, Anonymous. That is great. And you know, Anonymous, here's the amazing thing. You have done for us this morning, you've given us a way to kick it off, because what you've done is you've given us a snapshot of where you were drifting to. And that's that generational sin or lack of fear of the Lord. And I want you to do this for me today. Don't let go of the gospel. Will you do that, Anonymous? Don't let it go today.
Yes.
Hold on to it, sister. Way to go.
Wow.
Great word, Allie.
Yeah. And to be able to look and say, this is where I was headed. I'm not ashamed to admit that I probably would have followed that same path as my mom.
Why is it so important? How does rehearsing the gospel keep you from getting sucked into dead orthodoxy and jumping through hoops for the approval of people rather than God? How does that work, Allie?
As you think about that guy that you pulled overboard, or you pulled from falling in the water.
Right. So on board.
So there was probably initial excitement, but he could easily, like, years could go by and he could kind of forget that, like, but that's an important thing for him to remember, that I was going to die and then I was given a second chance here. So what am I going to do with it? To lose sight of that, he would live beneath what he could.
Yes. And how easy is it to lose sight of what God has saved us from? It's so easy.
So easy.
But the minute you lose sight of what God has saved you from, you get sucked into this dead orthodoxy, ritual, rote, rinse, repeat, serve, ought to, should, got to look right, got to act right. And you know what? You put that right on your kiddos. It's never saved anyone. We've got a question for you, and we're going to come back and take calls. We've got 7 lines available.
What were you saved from? Be as specific as possible. Even if you were saved from a very young age and you think, well, I didn't have some crazy life of sin. Well, if you think back, what path were you headed on based on your family of origin, based on your culture, based on whatever was going on in your life? It's not hard to think about what path you would have been on. We'll take that story too. 312-274-9624.
Coming to you live from the Morningstar Mission Sponsor Studios, this is Carl and Crew Mornings on 90.1 FM Moody Radio.
All right, guys, here we go on this beautiful Tuesday morning. How about the weather out there?
I loved seeing some sunshine yesterday.
Alley weather.
Oh, man, felt good.
Yeah, feeling good. Well, Boom Crew, we sure love you. And one of the greatest realities that we find in the Word of God is that Jesus sets us free from this performance Christianity. And we need to stay anchored there. And the power of the gospel, and I'm blown away at how many stories are coming in this morning. I shouldn't be. But the power of the gospel to keep us anchored in God's grace and not get sucked into this religious spirit that we start kind of feigning superiority, inferiority. Performance Christianity can fall off on two sides. You can either think you're all that and a bag of chips, or that you're none of that. The gospel kind of equalizes both of those, takes you up to this high ridge and says, but for the grace of God, there go I, who saved a wretch like me. You sometimes hear those songs, you think, wow, those are crazy, strong songs. Why would they write that? Because the gospel's that powerful.
And when you think about it, and you, this is one of your favorite passages in Titus 2.
Titus 2.
The same gospel that saves us, the grace of the gospel that saves us, it trains us. So if we lose sight of what we've been saved from, we stop growing because we forget that we needed to be saved from something, and we kind of start doing it in our own strength.
This is so prevalent. I want to, it's one of these, jump through the mic into your passenger seat or into your living room, have a cup of coffee with you and sit you down and go, my friend, one of the things that can create dead orthodoxy and feeling like you're living life by the list. And this is why Larry Crabb, before he passed away, thought that the best book that he could possibly write to his dying day, he thought it was a book titled The Pressure's Off. Because so many Christians live under this performance mentality that it's about what I've got to do. Oh, I've got to raise good kids. A big problem with that is, boy, what happens when our performance is baked into the family system that we have? Well, now you really get in trouble because your kids feel the pressure to be right, act right, look right, speak right, and then pretty quick, you're right down into that lie that Paul warned about. You know, Paul said, first missionary journey, went out to the church of Galatia, preached the gospel, and you know what? Salvation's everywhere. He's back in Jerusalem, and he hears they're abandoning the gospel of freedom, and they've readopted circumcision. They've readopted Judaism law. And he's like, why are you so quickly abandoning the gospel? So what's the solution? Anchor number one to keep you from drifting out into this land. And by the way, I know you might see others, maybe even in your church, drifting out into performance land. You know what they need from you? They need to see a friend in you that is anchored in the gospel, that you have never forgotten where your life would be without Jesus, that it is fresh on your mind. This gets me so fired up, Alex.
So we're asking you this morning, what were you saved from? And this applies to everyone, even if you don't feel like you have this colorful testimony. Drugs to Jesus is kind of how people describe it. You might have been saved when you were 6, 7, 8 years old. Well, I want you to go back to that moment. Think about what was going on in your life, in your family, in your neighborhood. What's the path that you most likely would have ended up on if not for the grace of the gospel intervening? 312-274-9624.
We got some calls on hold. Stay there, guys. We'll get to you. A lot of fireworks today. This is great. 312-274-9624.
Whether it's number one or 100, take that step with Jesus today. You're listening to Carl and Crew Mornings.
When we forget the gospel, we can slide into a performance Christianity that Paul warned the Galatian church in. They had received freedom in Christ. Now they were on this slippery slope, sliding into all of this performance stuff, primarily circumcision, this way that we're identified as Christ followers. But Paul, by the way, goes on to say in chapter 5 of Galatians, and we're going to get there in a few months. You might say a few months, we're going to get there. But what he does is he explains this is the deeds of the flesh. This is the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit has nothing to do with circumcision, church attendance, serving kids, serving homeless. Now, that might well be one of the outworkings of an authentic thing going on inside you. But when we turn Christianity into this performance art, wow, we're in trouble. We got to back away from it. How do we get anchored in the grace of God? We can't forget the gospel. What did God save you from? And this works for people that have drugs to Jesus story or saved as young kids.
It works because you can project where you would have ended up. Let's start with Eric from Chicago. Eric, tell us, what were you saved from?
Yeah, I was saved from a life of depression. I suffered from severe depression for many years, and life was meaningless and miserable. And to the point where in 2017, I attempted suicide. But God intervened in that attempt, and it didn't work. And he brought me help from many sources. And today, I actually look forward to the day I'm active in work and in church and activities. And I don't experience that misery and hopelessness that I experienced before.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Eric, buddy, I want you to do something for me. Never forget what Jesus has done in your life. Never forget the gospel. Okay, Eric?
I don't intend to.
Yeah, man. I love you. What a great word. Taking your calls right now.
What were you saved from? What were you delivered out of? Maybe right out of the middle of it, or maybe God kept you from ever even heading down that path. 312-274-9624.
Give us a call, 312-274-9624. Gerald, man, from Chicago, what did God save you from?
My image that I had to live up to. Thinking more about how I can please people rather than pleasing God.
Amen.
Knowing the truth that God has set me free from in his word, and knowing that the devil had me bound, but Jesus set me free. And I'm thankful for God's presence in my life today. I'm 85 years old in July, and I'm in a nursing home, but by God's grace, he's showing me that whatever I have to deal with, that trust in him. Don't trust him. Lean on my own understanding.
Yeah.
When I was thinking about how to look good to people, for bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having of the life that now is and of that which is to come.
Yeah.
So this is what I'm trusting in, and I'm thankful that God gives me the desires that I don't have, that even though that I was molested as a child and the devil had me bound, and I was thinking that because I was taking pleasure in them things that I was...
leading nowhere, right, Gerald?
Yeah, well, I was taking pleasure in them things, even though I know that them things were part of our sexual sins.
Yeah.
You know, as a child, you don't know the difference, and then you feel guilt and shame. And so I thank God he's delivering me from that.
Yeah, Gerald, thank you, man. 85 years young, Boom Crew. Way to go, my man. You know what he said in there? Hope you got it, Boom Crew. He's remembered to this day what the gospel has saved him from. There's a guy 85 years old that understands the constant threat of spiritual performance. But the gospel has set him free from living that way. Let's get one more in here.
Let's go to Art from Seymour. Art, good morning. Tell us, what were you saved from?
I was saved from the drug and alcohol stuff that my crowd in high school was involved in, because I got saved when I was 14 before I was old enough to get involved in any of that stuff. So I was saved from that before I got old enough to be involved in it.
Yeah. Hold it. Time out there. You just nailed it. Art, you just gave, didn't he, Allie?
Yes.
He just gave a beautiful example of people who claim to not have a drugs to Jesus story. You're able to look sober-mindedly and go, whoa, the gospel saved me from this. And you've got the blank filled in. Does that keep you grounded to this day, Art?
Yes, it does. And I see kids, my grandkids are now that age, and I'm hoping that they will go to church. But my son was hurt by a church when he was younger, so he's afraid of churches. He's afraid churches will abuse his children like they abused him.
Yeah, yeah. But you know what, Dad? You're dragging them right back to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that's what matters, Art. Art from Seymour, way to go, Boom Crew. That's what we're talking about here today. Whew. Coming up, minute and a half, we're going to kind of do a little reset on this. This has been amazing. I mean, we just teed this up about an hour ago and gave some vivid illustrations and scriptural truth right out of Galatians 1. The power of remembering the gospel, understanding what God saved you from, whether you got into, this is why I love Art's stories so much, because the tendency is to think, well, I don't really know what God saved me from. Art at 14 got saved from all of his buddies that were heading down this certain path. That is powerful. You might have been saved from a religious spirit. You might have been saved from a home life that was filled with pride and arrogance. Maybe even religious pride and arrogance. But you were saved nonetheless.
What were you saved from? 312-274-9624.
Your shot of hope to make it through the day. It's Carl and Crew Mornings.
There's a big lie out there. From the very beginning of mankind, even with Adam and Eve in the garden to this day, the big lie is that we must perform well enough to gain the approval of God and others. And you know what's bad about that lie? It can't be done.
But it doesn't stop us from trying.
Boy, why is that, Allie?
That's what we default to. It's our human nature. You think back to Adam and Eve and how after they ate the fruit that they were not supposed to eat, their first inclination was to try to cover up that God was coming. And so they wanted to somehow make themselves more
look
presentable.
Okay.
That was the instinct. And you think about when things are going, you've got some difficult things going on in your life. Sometimes our first instinct is to try to make things look better than they are.
Yep.
To try to put on a brave face, to try to put on the smile when we're at church, to try to hide what's really going on, because we don't really want people to know.
There's some solutions for this, but drifting into this powerless performance life is the reason that Galatians was written. The first book written in the New Testament was Galatians, AD 49. How many years has Jesus been gone? A handful, 16 maybe. That was it. Paul went on this first missionary journey, got back to Jerusalem and heard the word. Uh-oh, they're starting to think that freedom is found in trying to perform and look good for those around me and even look good for God. And there's always going to be people, even in our faith communities, that by the way they act or even the way they speak, kind of put forward a Christianity that's all about, are you serving enough? Are you doing enough? Are you looking the right way? Are you talking the right way? It's super dangerous. I remember a guy came through a chapel. He inadvertently illustrated this in an interesting way. I would say this is a brother who was bound up tightly in a external ethic of what Christians need to look like. And I remember him putting up on the screen this supposed testimony of a guy that had come to faith in Jesus. And he gave the before picture and the after picture. And I thought to myself, man, I like the before picture better.
What was it? Like he was dressed differently or... What looked different about him?
What he was proposing is that the after picture is what real Christians look like. And the great danger with that is that when we forget that God looks upon the heart, even though man looks on the outward appearance, we can begin to send a message of freedom in Christ that is not free at all. That our love for you is contingent upon how you look. Are you saluting the Christian flag rightly here? Do you look like, talk like, and act like a good Christian? Now, am I saying there's no behaviors that are evident from a person who's alive in Christ? Oh, no. By their fruits, you will know them. But the fruits are not whether you wear a tie to a worship service or not. Or whether your hair is cut high and tight, even though high and tight is now popular. But the evidence of whether or not you're rocking and rolling with Jesus is love and joy and peace, and patience, and kindness, and goodness, and gentleness, and faithfulness, and self-control. Oh, Nelly! That's the real stuff, Allie.
And it's hard to put those on.
It's hard to put them on.
Helping you take the next step in your walk with Jesus. This is Carl and Crew Mornings.
You get anchored in the gospel. And you might say, well, I know the gospel. No, no. You get anchored in the gospel and what it meant and means in your life, and you will not drift into this powerless performance Christianity. And we've watched it work all morning long already, but listen to these passages of scripture right out of Galatians 1.
Verse 3 through 5, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Grace and peace to you. God's power and his peace to guard you. How?
He gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age. So those two things going on. You are delivered from your sins, personal, from the present evil age, corporate.
Yeah, it's a powerful thing. You know, the reality of the gospel is that it takes you to someone and from something. And the minute we lose the gospel in our life, we are going to inadvertently turn right down the path of spiritual performance. You know what embracing the gospel does for you, though, on a positive note? It's this level playing field. If you get at the foot of the cross with three people who understand, but for the grace of God, I would be a wreck. And everybody acknowledges that. There's no secrets at the foot of the cross.
It's true.
You bear your soul at the foot of the cross. When there's three people together in humble unity around the grace of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ, you don't have to fake it till you make it. You don't have to hide. You don't have to disguise. It can all be out there. How powerful is that?
So coming up, can I have you wrestle with a question
with
me? So who do you think is more susceptible to this kind of performance Christianity? Those who have a more straightforward testimony, maybe saved early on, or those who have more of a testimony like yours that were saved out of something, drugs to Jesus? Do you think it's equally tempting to fall back into it for both groups of people?
But that is a fantastic question. See, when you only get answers that are commensurate with the questions that you're asking yourself. That's a great question because it makes you dig a little bit and go, wonder who is more inclined to blow it here.
Here to help with your spiritual spring cleaning, we're Carl and Crew Mornings.
Yeah, guys, I got to tell you, we are tackling anchoring yourself so that you don't drift into this powerless life of performance Christianity. The first book in the New Testament was written in AD 49 by Paul back to the churches of Galatia. By the way, there was more than just one church. There were a lot of congregations at this point, maybe 7 or 8 congregations that had been growing up in these little burgs all around the province of Galatia, which is Asia Minor, which is modern day Turkey. Fascinating, huh? So, I mean, you can't even get into Turkey to go check these out. To my understanding, some of these sites, and especially being evangelistic in that country right now, would be a no-no. But these are ancient cities that had heard the gospel and people were set free. One of the reasons that we've got to be careful with this is that we can't read it as a historical document. We got to look at it as something that we can benefit from. And the potential for us to slip from a gospel that is totally grace-based into a life that is totally performance-based is so, as you said earlier, Allie, it's such a natural thing to do.
So my question for you was, who is most susceptible to this potential drift? Or is it kind of equal opportunity?
You know, I've thought about this here for about 7 minutes. I think it's, in my experience, I'll speak for myself. I was saved from a mess. It's still easy for me to forget the gospel of what Jesus has done in my life as much as I even share it here. It's easy to get thinking my life is based on my performance, mm-hmm. and it's deadly. And yet I've seen a lot of people that were born again as young people. And I'm going to give some props here. Sometimes I find people that were born again at the age of 8, and it's really true. And they're enamored with God's grace to this day.
Yeah.
And they weren't saved from some of the tangible things that I was saved from. And conversely, I've seen some people that were saved from stuff like me that never seemed to forget that story, and they live strong. And some people that were born again or claimed to have been at a very young age that seemed to have forgotten that trajectory of destruction that they were on when God saved them. I think buying the lie is an equal opportunity employer, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I think you may be right about that.
So what do we need to do? What's the answer here, Allie?
Well, the answer is to be reminded of the gospel, to be reminded that Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, that we've been saved from something.
Yeah, and it's a powerful thing.
Coming to you live from the Morningstar Mission Sponsor Studios, this is Carl and Crew Mornings on 90.1 FM Moody Radio.
Got a big announcement for you, Boom Crew. We've had a great response to an event that's coming up 2 weeks from today. Allie, what are the details on this
thing? Yeah, this is going to be a legacy planning, estate planning seminar put on by our folks here at Moody Bible Institute, totally free. Obviously, they're going to be talking to you about how to leave a legacy here at Moody, but also get helping you answer some general questions, experts on hand, Q&A. But there's, what, 20-some seats left?
They have capacity for 80, and I got word from them this morning early, like at 5-something. Something that said, whoa, filling up faster, 28 seats left. And Boom Crew, we want you to grab them. This is no cost for this thing. I was at one. It is, you're going to meet amazing people and you're going to get a lot of questions answered. And yes, as Allie said, we're unapologetic about getting the gospel out here, even for generations to come. But they'll tell you how to live and die wisely with the resources you got.
So if you want the details for this event, get the details and then act on it soon because space is filling up. So just text LEGACY to 312-274-9624. Text LEGACY to 312-274-9624.
2 weeks from tonight. By the way, I can't wait to see you there. I'm going to get out there just to meet and greet folks at the start and do a little quick welcome, and then we're going to kick the event off. So text LEGACY to our number here. And if you really want to get there, get your name in quickly, because I would imagine based on us mentioning it early this morning, we're close to being topped off. So get confab with your spouse, decide what you're going to do, and if you're going to do it, jump in. LEGACY to 312-274-9624. It can really be a challenge when we are in a Christian culture that our tendency is to find approval from people. All of us struggle with people winning or people pleasing. I mean, that's just a common battle. The only thing that really breaks us of that is when we've been burned by that. But even then, we can get sucked back into it again, can't we?
100%. And we start to attach our worth and our value and how God sees us to how we feel like we're performing.
Why is that so prevalent?
You know, I wish I knew the answer to that. I think it comes from a good place of a lot of times of wanting to please God, of wanting to live rightly. But where we get away from that is when it becomes our own strength. And then our focus, instead of the work being to try to stay close to him,
yeah,
where that fruit is born naturally, the work becomes, let me try to earn my way to him. And it's a subtle, but really big. So it's subtle. You can do it easily, but when you're there, you're like, man, something feels really off.
And when it feels off, and when you have this holy awareness, it's like, whoa, here, I am trying to live my life for the approval of others, the eyes of others, or maybe even trying to gain the approval of God when that's already been handled by Christ on the cross. It can be so paralyzing. And the question is, how do we keep from drifting into that? And the first anchor that we're tackling today, and we got two more tomorrow and the Thursday, anchor yourself in the gospel. Why? Because when you remember what you've been saved from. I'm talking your story, what you've been saved from. It's less likely that you'll rely on who you are or what you've become. When you remember this is what I've been saved from. It's that overwhelming sense of God's grace. This is why Paul repeats it over and over again. Even in the book of Philippians, in the intro, he says, listen, man, I was all that. I was a Judaizer. I was one applauding the killing of Christians. I'm willing to admit this. Why did Paul rehearse his story over and over again? It kept him anchored in God's grace and in God's power, getting away from this religious performance.
And the thing I love about what you just shared is for Paul, it was like, he was like, you know what? If people have human reasons to boast, let me give you a list of the reasons I had to boast. So his wasn't that his life was falling apart and he had all, it was like, I was performing really well by the standard that I thought mattered.
Isn't that fascinating? So, I mean, he was a despicable man and he would gladly admit
that.
But in the eyes of the religious culture he was in,
he was killing it.
He was killing it.
And this is, and I think about my own story, because there were certain standards that I thought really mattered and I was killing it.
Yep.
I was getting really good grades and I thought that really made me something special. Like, teachers said really great things about me. I was a trustworthy, good kid, and I thought that those things really mattered, and there was some pride associated with the really great things that people said about me. Then it was like, wait a second, I'm really killing it by standards that don't actually matter, so let's reassess here.
Yeah, so you were a good religious kid, so I want to go here for a second. Where would have you been if God had not saved you out of that performance, goody-two-shoes is what we used to call you kind of guys, by the way? That's what, that's when we were little kids, we used that term. Probably because you got kind of kids were intimidating to us because you got all the grades, you got all that.
Yeah.
But where was it ultimately? What evil did that save you from?
Oh, I would have continued down a completely self-led life where it was my own metric, my own standard, trying to live up to some sense of perfection that kept me better than other people.
It's a big thing to remember that, isn't it, Allie?
It absolutely is.
Were you better off than me, even though you didn't snort cocaine?
No way. No way, because it's this dangerous thing of, I think back and it's dangerous when people speak really, really well of you, because you can be, lulled into believing the hype. But I had this subtle sense, it would creep in of like, man, I don't really feel like I'm that great. Like, I can't.
That's a great holy moment.
But yeah, you can get lulled into believing it. And I think that happens in many different lanes. It's the goody two shoes kind of like me, but it's also, if you're in business and you're doing really well, or you're, whatever area of life it is, when you're performing well, and then there's accolades that kind of come with that, it can be really dangerous.
What's your story? Come on, we got a question for you.
What were you delivered from? What were you saved out of? 312-274-9624.
Your shot of hope to make it through the day. It's Carl and Crew Mornings.
Taking your stories. If you want to stay anchored so that you don't drift into the powerless life of performance Christianity, which, it's important when it's the first letter written. The first book of the New Testament is the book of Galatians, 49 AD. Paul had just wrestled in Jerusalem with the Jerusalem Council, Acts 15. What were they wrestling with? Well, what's the minimum viable product we need to expect of people kind of externally to prove that there's been an internal change? And they whittled it down to about nothing. And guess what? Circumcision didn't make the list. So he hears back that Judaizers have snuck into the gospel preaching churches of Galatia. And he's like, how have you so quickly abandoned the freedom that we have in Jesus? How have you reduced it down to a list of what you look like, what you act like? How, whether or not you serve in children's ministry or whether you don't, or how the list goes on. And pretty quick, we're measuring people based on performance Christianity, and that's no Christianity at all. But if we anchor ourselves in the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we've been saved from an evil age into the hands of Jesus, and we remember that, we don't forget it. See, the more we cling on to our story of what Jesus has saved us from, the less likely we're going to drift into all this performance metric. Just a fact.
So we're asking you to think about it this morning. What were you saved from? 312-274-9624. Eric, let's get you in here from Chicago. Tell us, what were you saved from?
Well, good morning. I was saved from me, and I was saved from darkness.
Yeah.
You know, I started smoking marijuana when I was in high school, drinking alcohol, smoking weed. Later on, I started smoking PCP, started tooting cocaine, started smoking crack cocaine, in and out of county jail about maybe 15 or 20 times. But it wasn't until I went to prison where God delivered me. I wasn't raised in church, never read a Bible, never picked a Bible up. When I got in Stateville Farm, God had a Gideon Bible in there. That, when I picked that Bible up when I was in prison, that changed my life. 32 years later, I am still walking with Christ. I have not touched a drug through the grace of God, picked up any alcohol, have not been incarcerated in 32 years. The same division, Division 6, in the Department of Corrections, the Cook County Jail, God allows me now to go through the front door to minister to the men every Friday.
Wow.
Tell them that God is still good. I mean, this is what keeps me going.
Yeah.
When I go into the county jail, I don't just minister to them. The men minister to me. That's what keeps me going day by day, Carl.
Yeah,
and
man.
Allie.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for the grace of God on my life, I would have died with the pipe in my mouth.
Yeah.
But God put the gospel in my mouth for me to share it with everybody who wants to hear it. God didn't save me for me. He saved me for somebody else. Everything
Amen.
That I went through led me to the cross.
Amen.
This is my life that I live every day. This is the life I never planned on living.
Yeah.
God had this life planned out for me since the foundation of the world. When God delivered me, it reminds me when he delivered the man who was laying by the pool for 38 years, he said, don't sin no more unless something else more evil come upon you.
Yeah.
This is what keeps me going.
Yeah, right on.
If I touch another crack pipe, I'm out of here.
Yeah. Eric,
let
me ask.
If I pick up another bottle, I'm out of here.
Let me ask you a question, Eric. So the Apostle Paul went to Galatia, first area he went on, his first missionary journey. So the gospel's going out of Jerusalem, and it's going into people that, they were rocked by the gospel. Men and women, just like you and me, Eric, some that their life, because you know what's funny about history and culture? Every culture has been able to make some kind of intoxicating drug or alcohol to dull the pain. Every culture, they learned how to make hooch quick. You know why? We got to dull the pain. So people were saved radically. Then Paul hears word that they got a religious spirit that was inflicting them, where people were coming in telling them it's about what you look like and how you act and do you have the right, you know, all that stuff. Eric, how important is it for you? Because that temptation to get sucked into performance Christianity is just as real for you and me as it is for anyone else. How important is it for you to remember the gospel to keep you out of this funky religious spirit?
I have to always remember, Carl, that it wasn't me that saved me.
Yeah.
Jesus said that apart from him, I can't do anything. I can never get to the point where I can start saying where I can make it on my own. I can't do this on my own.
Yeah.
The same God that delivered me is the same God that I have to stay attached to.
Amen.
Because I just can't do it.
Yeah.
There's no way I can go back to where I used to be.
Yeah.
to try to make it. No, this is the life where I need to continue to trust God. Because if I don't trust God, I'll be just like the people in Galatia. Paul said, who has bewitched you?
Yeah, chapter 3, verse 1.
I don't want to be bewitched no more. I don't want to be bewitched no more. I already been bewitched. I need to be kept.
Yes.
And to be kept is to stay close.
Yeah.
Wow.
Eric, you're a righteous man. Woo. I love you, man. And it's a righteousness from above. It's not an internal righteousness. It's not a works righteousness. It's falling on your face before the Lord. And Eric, I love you, man. Thank you. Thanks.
I love you. I love you all, too. You all have been a blessing to my life. Trust me, you have been a blessing to my life. I've been following you all since you all came online.
Yeah.
Wow.
You're a blessing.
My life, living for Christ. It's my life daily. This is not a life that I live on Sunday, and then I live another life on Monday. This is the life I live because Christ died for me.
Yeah.
This ain't no fake it till you make it Christianity. I have to live for Christ. Like Paul said, for me to live is Christ, is to die is gain. I can't gain anything from the world.
No.
I gained it through Christ. He the one who died for me. He the one who took my place on the cross. It's supposed to be me on the cross, but he took my place. When Christ died, I died. When he rose, I rose with him.
It's no longer Eric or Carl or Allie who live, Eric. It's Christ who lives in us.
I was crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me.
Yeah. Eric, I want to thank you, hot dog, for calling in today. And I just want to tell you from the bottom of my heart, I love you. You might say, that dude's radical for Jesus. Well, if you look at the pages of Scripture, believe it or not, this passion for the gospel of Jesus Christ and an unwillingness, a clinging unwillingness to let go of the gospel, never forgetting what God has done in our life. According to Paul, that's biblically normative. This kind of fire that you heard from Eric here, Paul wants that just cut and pasted into everyone's soul. Would it sound a little bit different? Sure. But would the passion and burning in the belly be there the same for everyone? Yeah. Yeah. You see, the gospel of what Jesus has saved us from keeps us anchored. He's right. We're just in the first chapter of Galatians today, just a few verses, but yeah, he's right. Go down a little bit further. Galatians 3, verse 1, who has bewitched you? Yeah. When I hear that junk, who's bewitched you? What you began in the power of the Spirit, you're now working out in the flesh. Oh. We can't go there, Allie.
I love Eric's story.
Powerful story.
Man.
And the power is not just the gospel to save, but the gospel to sustain. It's Eric's passionate remembrance of what Jesus has saved him from that keeps him strong to this day. Hey, this is Carl with Carl and Crew, and I'm so grateful that you listened to this showcast. Thank you mostly for being part of the Boom Crew. As we help you take your next step with Jesus, you're a huge encouragement to us. We'll be here again live every weekday morning from 5 to 9 a.m. Godspeed.